This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you okay?
The Fan.
Boy, we're all over the place. We're running way late. Get us back on the rails there, Rust, okay? I'm having squirrel moments left and right. The Portland Trailblazers officially hit the unofficial halfway point of the regular season, the All-Star break. 23-32. They made that really easy for somebody who can't do math very well. 55 games into the season, 23-32 on the season. And exceeding some expectations, obviously, in that front, unofficial front half of the season. But they ended on a three-game skid, losing back-to-back decisively to the Denver Nuggets. This one, 132-121, where Blazers gave a nice little effort in the second half, but the damage was done in the first half.
Particularly by Jamal Murray, who went for 30 in the first half, 55 in the game.
55 overall, the double nickel.
Yeah, third highest scoring night in Nuggets history.
Well, yeah, didn't Michael Thompson? I saw Michael Thompson has like a 73-point game.
They've got some high scoring games in that franchise with Issel and Kiki.
Another triple double by Nikola Jokic too, 26, 15, and 10. Mm-hmm. But I think for the Blazers and their fans, they were looking at Donovan Kling and Kling Kong with DeAndre Ayton out, with Robert Williams out.
Massive night.
Yeah, he had a huge night. He went in 31 minutes of action, 7 of 12 from the field. 17 points, mm-hmm. 20 rebounds,
10 offensive,
and 3 blocked mm-hmm. shots.
He is the 15th rookie in NBA history to go at least 15 points, 20 rebounds, and 3 blocks. The rest of the guys on that list, with the exception of, I want to say, 2, are like dudes of dudes. It's Wemby, it's Shaq, it's Hakeem, it's... Shaq did, I want to say, 7 or 8 times his rookie year.
Yeah.
It's yeah. like, yeah, it's pretty good. But now, this is the thing that we've talked about with Donovan that we didn't see with Scoot in his rookie year. The wow moments.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see, like, he's had 2 of them now. 2 unbelievable games where, like, the production has been insane. The 17, 12, and 8 against Minnesota, playing down the stretch where four blocks or 5 blocks in the fourth quarter alone. Stuffing Gobert. The Blazers in game 2 of this matchup with the Nuggets, they did something a little bit different. They put Tumani on Jokic for the most part and let Donovan stay close to the rim. And you saw him do what you kind of hope he can do, which is control the glass and control the rim.
Yep.
Because they went from 88 points in the paint allowed in the first game to, was it 56? Yeah, 56.
Well, I mean, the conditioning has been an issue. You've been yep. on this big time. He plays 31 minutes mm-hmm. at, I don't know if you guys know this, but Denver's a mile high. Yeah, do you know that?
Yeah.
It's a mile high.
Big fellow was sucking gas, but I think a big part of it is you can do that knowing you got a week to chill. You don't have to worry about keeping him back. for another game on a road trip or another game on a back-to-back or whatever the situation is. You can let him go.
Yeah, but he played 21 the night before, mm-hmm. and well, two nights before, mm-hmm. and Monday, Wednesday, at altitude, which everybody says is a
brutal
real thing.
Yep.
And he goes, plays 52 minutes in those two games, which is above what he is used to playing.
Oh, God, yes.
And
it's only the second time all year he's played more than 28 minutes.
In those games, he went 21-7 mm-hmm. and 17-20 in those two games. Mm-hmm. I think that at this point, it's realistic for the people who are saying, get Donovan Klingon more minutes.
They're going
play him more minutes.
He's going to play more minutes no matter what because DeAndre's out. But I don't think you're going to see him playing 31 regularly. I think you're going to see him playing 24, 26. I think that's going to be the common number. And you're going to see him get tired in those situations, and that's fine. But I don't think you're going to see him playing 30-plus minutes a night.
Yeah, I think that and it's, again, small sample size, but what the last two games have done, though, is it is going to give people that confidence that, no, dude, just go out there and let him run. Like, and I think that
they don't want to do that from a medical perspective alone. Like, just in general, because of the wear and tear for a guy who's 7'3", 290, when they start, particularly guys that big, when they start to get gassed, not only are you not getting as much out of them, but the level of potential for injury skyrockets if you're not
sure
in that level of shape.
Sure. But 27 games left.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that idea that you can't play him those minutes when you need him to, I think that's kind of going to the wayside.
Oh, yeah.
In the last 27 games. And that's exactly what Blazer fans have wanted to see. And now you're starting to see a little bit is a guy that you can, he is finally getting into shape. It's 55 games into the season too. I mean, if he's not in shape, I think that's a bigger issue if you're not getting him into shape over 55 games.
It's not a matter of being in shape for this. Like guys like him, guys that are that big, there are, was it 14 players? I think it's 14. It's 14 or 15 players in NBA history over 7'2" that have played more than 30 minutes a game.
Yep. And I don't think 30 minutes a game is too many, but 17 is not enough.
No, no.
12 is not
100%,
enough.
100%.
Yeah. And that's what we were seeing from him is like 12 minutes and you're like,
that wasn't okay. Conditioning, though. That was, they were playing to win.
Yeah.
And DeAndre was going to get those minutes, and the young wings were going to get those minutes, and that was the way they were going to go.
I think he can help you win, too.
I think the way he helps you win is when he is playing more.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, well, no, not that him playing more is good, because you're going to have fits and spurts of like when he's just not playable in certain matchups.
Oh, yeah, he's a rookie, and yeah. By the way, 55 games into the season, they only played like... we looked this up. It was like only 30 or 40 some games last year at UConn.
Oh yeah, no.
This is also, you play him fewer minutes at the beginning of the year to get him used to what an 82 game season mm-hmm. is,
and getting up
and
now the floor
just, and now's the time where you start ripping the Band-Aid off a little bit more and saying, all right, go. This is what it's going to be like.
Where the work comes is in the off season when you're talking about like getting into NBA shape. Type stuff, and everybody's like, well, why wasn't he there to begin with? Because he's a baby who played 20 minutes a game at UConn.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. But, I mean, we've talked about this a million times. Like, Zach Edey came out for the draft the year before, and he went to the combine and just didn't have it. He spent the entire offseason getting his body right.
Yeah.
And then was an absolute terminator for Purdue and played basically 38 minutes a night.
All right. Well, the Blazers, they lose three straight games. That's not making people feel all that bad, nor is the production that you got from Donovan Klingon as you head to the All-Star break, where no Scoot Henderson, but Tumani Kamara will be in the Rising Stars Challenge tomorrow.
Indeed.
And we can see a little bit more from, I think Scoot's still going to be there, though.
He's still there because he's still going to go do all his shoe stuff. He's still got to deal with Puma, and he'll go do all his sponsorship meet and greet stuff.
I think one thing that came out of that game, though, was had nothing to do with the Portland Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. It was actually a game that the Charlotte Hornets played against the Orlando Magic. And what Yusuf Nurkic said is raising some eyebrows here locally. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. The Portland Trailblazers are in the All-Star break, but they're staying in the news as my little fella from Portland is catching the attention of those that cover the NBA. Yusuf Nurkic, former Portland Trailblazer, then a Phoenix Sun, and now a Charlotte Hornet, said after a game against the Orlando Magic, about Orlando, I think they're a really good young team and they're doing a really good job. They have a really good coaching staff, but I think they're missing one player. I can't name it, but that's my little fella from Portland. But I love Portland people. But I think they are waiting and missing one player to be a really good team.
Nurk knows how to tamper. Remember, he did the exact same thing with Jeremy Grant.
Oh, no way. My little fella from Portland. Now, I think everybody assumed that that would be Anfernee Simons.
It is.
Because he played with Anfernee Simons here. Others were like, oh, maybe he's talking about Scoot. No. He never played with Scoot. No. So why would he call Scoot his little fella from Portland? There's nobody else that would be on the team that he would be referring to.
No.
Unless maybe Shaedon Sharpe.
No.
But he's not. He's talking about Anfernee Simons.
No. For very obvious reasons. It's from Orlando.
Yep.
They need a scoring guard. They need some spacing. My God, that offense is...
It's brutal.
It's since Franz and Paolo have come back, my God, it has been horrendous.
They don't play well together. Individually, each of them are like, if you put them on championship teams, they would not be your centerpiece, but they would be the stuffing that goes around a centerpiece for a great meal for a championship.
Look, one of this, I was talking to somebody about this probably a week ago. It's not Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, they're a lot alike, but there's some like differences. It's like, no, they're very, 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 very similar between Paolo and Franz. And I think there's probably stuff going on in Orlando that was associated with Boston, with those two guys, with the Jays butting heads. And they did. They always tried to downplay. Oh, it was nothing. There's nothing. They did. Because they're young stars trying to find their way. And when there's power to be grabbed, that's what happens. I don't think Paolo and Franz hate each other by any means, but you've got two young bulls trying to figure out who's the king of the ring. And it doesn't fit well. It doesn't mesh well. And if I was a betting man, I would say over the next 18 months, Orlando makes a decision on one of them.
But with Tatum and Brown, they do naturally play different positions. Stylistically, their games are
different.
Mm-hmm. In Orlando, they are built the same.
Mm-hmm.
Their style of game is very similar as mm-hmm. the attention that it commands in your offense. Like, I don't see how it's going to be like with the Jays. It was, hey, you guys need to put your damn egos aside for at least 2 months at the end of the season so we can make a run at a championship. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Done. Win a championship. Right? And they did.
And
I don't think it's that easy in Orlando.
Remember, Jaylen was the one that won finals MVP.
Yeah. I don't think it's that easy in Orlando, though.
No. Particularly because of their styles, but also because of their age.
Yep.
Look how long it took the Celtics. The Jays have been together forever. And there was the questions about whether or not they were going to figure it out. And, like, it's just, it doesn't quite fit. And honestly, I think if you gun to Anthony's head, I don't think he would want to play with both of those guys in Orlando.
Well, there's no way that both of them would be there if the Blazers trade Anfernee Simons.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true. Because I don't think an Anfernee Simons package alone is what gets you, very likely, Franz.
Yeah.
I think it's probably something else or a lot alongside Ant. And look, I love Ant. But Franz is 23 years old and on the All-Star swing. Like, that's where he's headed. I think this year he's averaging 25-5-5.
Dang.
It's pretty good. Not a lot of those guys in the league, especially
nope.
at 6'10".
Yeah. So it would be Ant and Moore.
Yes.
Then. That the Blazers would have
well,
to give
it would also physically have to be because of the math, because Franz's extension kicks in the summer. It's 40.
July 1.
New league
year. Kicks
in.
That kicks in. Now, if you want to spin that on its head, though, I think the Blazers and Blazer fans would be like, whoa, hold on here. How about if this ain't working in Orlando, we don't kick them Ant and we get that matchup here? In Portland, that would be dope.
And I think
you have to give up a ton of freight to do that, though.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Like, that's a kind of player that Portland desperately needs to play alongside of an Anfernee Simons. That's why it'd be attractive for Orlando to do.
Franz would, I think, in my opinion, would be a lower level first option, but would be a top tier second option. I look at him like I look at like a Chris Middleton, like one of the best, like Chris Middleton in his prime, one of the best second options in the entire NBA outside of like the, you know, the Heatles and stuff like that. Like your traditional, like no doubt number two guy that on any given night can be your number one. But he is just an incredibly good number two.
All you're telling me right now when you say that is that the Blazers get the good juju from playing really hard and not doing a true tank. They win the lottery and everybody's like, how in the world did Portland win? They get Cooper Flagg and then they trade everything off to get Franz here on a deal that kicks in July 1. Mm-hmm. He's going to get paid.
Everybody trade for him.
Everybody on rookie deals, and the Blazers win a championship in 3 years. Like I said earlier, the last 4 years has been the worst run since the start of the organization. Mm-hmm. And then 3 years later, they won a championship.
Allow yourself to get carried away with the idea of having four wings on your roster of Cooper Flagg, Denny Avdija, Tumani Kamara, Franz Wagner.
That'd be awesome.
Figure the rest out, man. I don't even care. Figure the rest out and just go, all right.
Yeah. Denny comes off the bench in that, like, yeah.
Still probably plays 30 a night, but like.
It's a good problem to have.
Well, I mean, those four guys can all play two through four.
And then Dame is sitting in Milwaukee going, dude, all I was asking.
It was for that.
All I was asking. I was here for a decade, and all I wanted was that.
Yeah.
Oh.
To be specific, Franz is averaging 25.1, 5.6 rebounds, 4.9 assists on 47, and this is the drawback, 32, 87. He's a career 85%+ free throw shooter. So, like, the three-point shooting, you just believe will eventually come around.
Yeah.
Because if Franz gets to league average.
Maybe.
I mean,
he's 23.
Yeah, but, I mean, you
got time.
You still, you tend to see it tick up a little bit. But if he becomes a league average three-point shooter, I mean, you've got a 28-a-game guy.
That'd be nice. Nice! Real sexy.
But yeah, get carried away for a second. But yeah,
and thanks, Nurk, giving us something to talk about here. You know,
we love Nurk.
Maybe you never know.
That just Vancouver Vortex line. That brother needs help.
Nurk, yeah.
No. I remember it's what he said about Draymond.
Oh yeah,
that brother needs help.
Well, no, Nurk does too, though.
Yeah,
he's over there tampering with. He's on the Charlotte Hornets, and he's tampering with the Magic and the Blazers.
Love it.
Just armchair GM and the Blazers, just like every other fan on Twitter.
Look. And I love how Nurk, whenever he gets to a team, he just leans in.
Yeah.
Like when he was here, he was all a Blazer. When he was in the Suns, you know, welcome to the Valley.
Sure.
Now he's tweeting out the purple and turquoise emojis with two Bs that says buzz buzz.
That's what I'm talking about.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, boy. Jeff Goodman with a little bit of breaking news here. Boston Celtics president of basketball operations Brad Stevens told the Field of 68 that he's not a candidate for the Indiana job. Gosh, that breaking news in college. No way. Brad Stevens, who just won an NBA title as the president of the Boston Celtics and stepped away from coaching so he could get into the front office, is now saying, I don't want the Indiana job. That Mike Woodson is like, I don't want to have this climate of college basketball.
Here is why it would be interesting. The Celtics are going to have a year after this, probably two, of being at the top. But not only are those guys going to age out, the reason why the Celtics sale is taking so long is because whoever buys that team has like a $350 million tax bill coming.
Yeah, because the old owners are like, screw it, we're going to keep them all together. And
we're not going to have to pay for this.
Deuces.
Yeah, the Grusbeck family is going to get out. And do you want to be the GM at the tail end of that?
Yeah, because Brad Stevens wanted out of the coaching game.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you're Bob Myers got out of the Warriors business right on time.
I think the guy that didn't want to coach in the NBA is definitely not going to want to walk into NIL transfer portal era of college basketball and say, yeah, I'm signing up for this. That's the thing. Like, yeah, you're right. He maybe get out of Boston, but I don't think it'll go
on TV
to a college basketball head coaching job.
It's interesting.
No, you can always come to Portland, Brad.
I mean, Bill Belichick went back to college.
Yeah, yeah, just yeah.
Throwing that out there.
As it got more professionalized, and he's like, yeah, all right, I'll be fine. I can, if they don't want to be here, I don't want them here anyway.
There you go. All right, coming up on our worst day on the web here on Danny and Dusty.
I'll steal your girlfriend.
I'm gonna go full fear tactic commercial throw here. Is there an item in your home that's taking off your fingers?
What?
You might have one. But first, it's Big Kahuna Sports and Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Here's the thing to scare the bejesus out of you and give you one of those shock alerts. Are you one of the more than 1 million people that bought Igloo cooler recently from Amazon, Costco, or Target?
Yeah.
It's a nationwide recall after dozens of reports of fingertip injuries, including amputations, have occurred.
Just the tip?
Just the tip.
Okay.
The toe handle on the Igloo 90-quart flip and toe rolling cooler can pinch fingertips, posing severe amputation risk and crushing hazards.
Just the tip.
What was it? You said 90-quart flip and toe. Let me see. Oh, yeah, that's the cooler we got. Wait. Yep. We have that. We have that cooler.
So there you go.
Wait, what part's going to cut my finger off?
The toe handle, the big handle.
The big handle?
Not the little tiny, like, 4-inch flip-up.
Yeah, handle, yeah, yeah. Like yeah. The one that you use to actually to drag
pop it,
that
pop it up
boy.
On the wheels and pull it, yep.
All right, so if you're wondering what this cooler looks like, so we actually just got it from Costco.
There you go. Recall.
We got this cooler, and it's like your normal cooler that has white handles on the side that you can just pick up and carry like normal. But it has this big black handle that locks in at the bottom, and you can pop that bad boy out, and you can wheel it. It's got two wheels on the bottom, mm-hmm. and you can kind of wheel that thing along. So it's been great. I have noticed it can be a little janky when you're trying to get that handle up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So I could imagine some people putting their fingers in the wrong spot and
clicking it
slamming
in.
That thing down.
Good Lord.
I can't taking imagine doing that to get where your finger pops off, though.
Prepare yourself.
All right. Well, we all know that, you know, Jeff Russ, he had Uncle Stubby's.
Yeah, I was going to say, Spud.
Whatever. he had like three fingers, dude. I mean, he was Uncle Stubbs. The dryers back in the day.
Yeah.
Laundry. That's how he lost his fingers.
They were heavy.
I have way more questions than answers on Uncle Spud and how those fingers were chopped off.
I had a buddy when I was younger.
Don't mess around, dude.
Jumped off one of those, the big dump bins that you get like when you're tearing off your roof.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? The one they haul away.
Yeah.
He was a general contractor and he was up on top of one, like throwing stuff in, jumped off and got his wedding ring caught on the edge as he jumped down.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have your avulsion fracture there.
Oh, no. He lost his finger.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
The coincidentally hilarious part of this is he got divorced like a year later. So maybe it was a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
But he literally filleted his finger down to the bone above the bottom knuckle.
That's gross.
Yeah, just took it all off with the ring.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. That's so he has a little nub where his wedding ring is, or was the ring finger is supposed to be.
Oh, boy.
That's a natural shocker.
Pretty gross. And I would not want that to ever happen to me.
No.
No.
All the time like that? I don't have much use out of mine.
But I know. But I bet you do, and you just don't notice it. You just don't notice it. It's like you go to grip something and, like, pop a lid off. You don't notice how much you're using your ring finger.
No.
Then all of a sudden you're like, oh,
I don't.
I use that a lot.
Well, no, I had a hole ripped through the middle of my palm underneath my ring finger, and I literally don't have much use in my left ring finger. So, like, if you ever see me grab something,
oh no way, there's something that is wrong with you.
Yeah, but if you ever see me, like, if you ever watch me drink, if you're on the YouTube channels or anything like that, you'll see my I grip things with my first two fingers and my thumb.
I just thought that was because you were a hoity-toity.
Just pinkies up all the time?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's very hard for me to...
I mean, Danny's not a fancy boy?
Yeah, no. It's actually, it's just very hard for me to naturally collapse that finger and like use pressure into it. It's been hell on me playing guitar.
I wonder what... What do we do without the songbird of our generation?
No, look, I played guitar for 25 years,
not,
man.
Not
like,
guitar.
It sucks. It's like I get tired playing. I can only play for a little bit.
What am I going to be able to do with this cooler that we got, though?
You can call the number.
You just call a number, and what do I do with the cooler that I have, though?
They'll send you a replacement handle. So apparently, you got to put the handle on yourself.
Which I'm out.
Nobody's doing that.
I'll risk the finger anyways. Yeah. Whatever.
Write that down later for when he tries to...
I'll just let everybody know. Like, I'm not losing my finger. You can go ahead and do it. Yeah. He's like, nah, I'm not going to flip that thing down. You can get that.
Nothing.
Because we got ours last spring. And so, like, that would fall right into this cutting off your finger monstrosity that is happening. So... I'll keep you updated. Hopefully, I have all my fingers moving forward.
Mild squirrel moment, I just thought. No feet or no hands?
What would you rather? No hands.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have no feet.
You're just going to eat like Ralphie's little brother in A Christmas Story?
Yeah.
Just face into the plate?
No. Like,
show me how a piggy eats.
Don't get me wrong. Neither are great. But if I'm going either,
yeah,
you can get the bionic feet.
No, man. The great Mark Speckman, he showed me you don't even need hands. He's the head football coach at Willamette, the godfather of the fly offense.
Mm.
He was born without hands.
No kidding.
Yeah. Dude has the best penmanship I have seen. Yeah, no hands.
How does it?
Yeah, so he puts the marker in between, and he just kind of writes everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. You want to get motivated in life? Just go down the YouTube hole of Mark Speckman motivational speeches. It's incredible.
That's
crazy. Has a speech that it still sticks with me about he was like, I think he said he was like 8 or 9 years old. And one day his mom just said, "You're going to dress yourself." Left him in the room. Like all day long. Mm. He's like, you got to figure out how to do this yourself.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Him. That's him. No hands. Drives a car. Like he has a convertible that he used to have.
Badass, dude. I did know somebody that did that as well. He
didn't hold him back at all.
There was a naval wheel on the steering wheel so that he could.
Yeah. He also said that one time he was called for holding. He was an offensive lineman. He looked at the official and said, "Come on, man. How you can call me for holding?"
I would have killed to see the ref reaction if you just put up two stubs.
Come
like,
on, man.
Dog.
Call me for holding? He had him wrapped up around, you know. How great is that?
Like, if I was a ref, it would be a spit take.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? I mean, it's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You got to have a sense of humor with that, right?
Sure do. Sure
brings
do.
A whole new meaning to hand fighting.
That's right. Just bop. All right, yeah.
Got to get your hands on them.
That's my final answer there.
All right. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Coming up next, there's been some news recently, a ton of it. Coming out of Oregon State. There was some good stuff last week in the sense. This week and today, maybe not so much. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Some news out of Corvallis is Oregon State is reportedly going to be losing their offensive line coach, Kyle Devan, to the Chicago Bears to become their assistant offensive line head coach. 24/7 Sports' Matt Zenitz is the one with the report. He will work under Dan Ruschar, who has already been appointed as the lead offensive line coach for the Chicago Bears.
And those two guys worked together in New Orleans before, and so this is a surprise to Oregon State fans because you start spring ball in, 18 days, and it's just another hit that you take because, remember, Kafensi Hinson ended up taking the job with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So you lose your wide receivers coach, and you lose now your offensive line coach, and spring ball is right around the corner. For Trent Bray, those are two massive holes that you have got to fill in a very short time before you get the ball rolling. Now, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, rush and make a dumb hire, right? Still take your time. If you start spring ball, you're going to be okay. Usually when all spring ball is time for young guys to make their mark and old guys to get surgeries, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. But you're going to want to get this thing in short order. In the next couple of weeks, you have two massive hires to fill. And with Devan leaving, I mean, that was one of the stabilizers, right? You bring him in because he's a former player. He has a sense of pride. He was going to be a guy that was going to stick around with the program. And I don't think that this is any sort of, like, you know, master conspiracy where you go, no, the Beavs are toast. Trent Bray doesn't got it. I think that this has a lot to say about the opportunity that was given to him by the Chicago Bears to be on an up-and-coming roster with Ben Johnson, who is the young, hot name in the NFL's hiring cycle. Then you go back and look, the NFL is paying their assistant coaches now.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
That's becoming the thing, is because there's a lot of money in college football now.
You can get back into the NFL and coach there, but for the Beavs, this is a massive hit. Hinson and Devan both leaving right now. That is massive. It's better that it didn't happen like right before signing day or whatever. But still, this is going to be massive hires that you have got to fill by Trent Bray. You got to knock them out of the park.
And the thing is, like, you think about Oregon State holistically as a program. What is the one position group that they consistently put in the NFL?
Offensive line. Well, in wide receiver.
But through the last 30 years, offensive line has been, I think, the most consistent among all of them, with exception to wide receiver. But that's where they've made their bones, because they find these guys, no matter who that is there, it's just kind of been an ethos of what they've done. They find guys with frames and they
pack pounds on and get projects and work them to death.
And Oregon State has done a great job of getting coaches at that position and retaining them for longer periods. This is a quicker turnaround, and it's kind of another knife in the side.
It's a tougher hill to climb now that you also have, look, you have to have somebody that understands how to recruit to Oregon State. You have to understand the caliber of athlete that you're going to be getting. And look, Oregon State has got to continue to still shoot for, you know, a power four type player. But, you know, and I'm not saying like recruit at the levels of Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, in those likes, but you need to be at a power four recruiting level, because that's where you want to be. And that's where, you know, you have been. And you have to have somebody that understands how to recruit to the university, because right now where the football program is, it is not in a Power 4 conference. It is not playing a Power 4 schedule either. So you've got to find somebody that identifies the talent, can still get those guys who are talented enough to come there. And that's where Devan was a huge one. It's like, dude, we were always overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
We were always overlooked at Oregon State. You need to come here and be a part of that, right? And that was like a huge piece of it. He was a great developer of talent. He could understand, he could get through to guys and tell them exactly what being in Corvallis and what playing at Oregon State was like. Now that he's gone to the NFL and Hinson has gone to the NFL, those are two massive blows.
They were able to retain a guy like Joshua Gray, who, you know, is an absolute stud. You know, now it's like kind of who comes in and is that voice in that team and on the recruiting trail and having those ties and being able to speak to history, tradition, what it's all about. Like, that's the thing, is it's the culture stuff that you talk about all the time. You have to have some tie to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when you're a new head coach like Lanning, you're still leaning on guys that have been there. You're still keeping the guys that are around the program.
Okay. Yeah. And Trent Bray is that, just by being the head coach, who's a former player
100%.
There. Like, he is that, but you need to have some semblance of it. And it doesn't even have to be with the amount of coaches that they have now, it doesn't even have to be the position coach, right? If you look at Oregon, right, on the assistant offensive line coach, you have Ryan Walk, who was just playing there just a few years ago, right? They have several former players that, even if they're not the position coach, they're assistant position coaches, and they get that.
And it's just
it's important. It really is.
It's a big part of it. All right, coming up next, again, the Super Bowl's done, but the NFL offseason is just getting going. There is a lot of news and notes coming out transactionally, and as we head towards the Underwear Olympics and the NFL Combine. We'll get to that here in hour number 3 on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.